This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It's 8 minutes after 11 o'clock. Good morning and welcome to Power Talk with me, Aldrin St. Pierre. And today I'm joined by Lukhona Mngunu. He's my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Adele. Love, love, love. Easy on me.
Exactly. That's actually quite a new release. So Aldrin is trying very hard to learn those lyrics.
I know 30% of the lyrics. So
30%.
It only dropped today. So
you're getting there.
Exactly.
People of Power, good morning. There is a takeover a little here. Not an unfamiliar voice at all, Aldrin St. Pierre. What other names did you go by on Power Talk?
Yo, countless. No, I can't count them. Countless.
Any that you remember?
Like, even on the show that I host now, we have a little promo there of people mispronouncing the name. But yeah, but others settled with what's the one called again? Usimpiwe.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah.
Well, somebody says they've been trying to avoid listening to Adele. I just ruined their Friday. Well, blame it on Aldrin, not
I'm
on
so
me.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, it is a
go
bit
easy on us. Come
yes, that's mine. But it is. Is it a tall people thing to broadcast standing? Do you broadcast standing? Because
yes.
You're standing now and not sitting down.
Yes, I do. I broadcast standing.
All the time.
Are you a short person?
Every day.
Are you a short person?
I am a short person. I'm very close to gravity. So maybe, you know, closer to the ground, the seat at least.
Yeah. No, I stand from the moment I do my good morning, good afternoon, that side, until I say thank you for choosing us.
I've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Peter has tried to challenge me and say, try broadcast standing. Do you just feel a bit more freer?
There's something about it that just makes you feel, because you have the entire studio, right? And the studio is big. It's just you, and then you have the technical producers, right? And it feels like the space is a bit vacant.
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel when I'm standing, I feel like kuni volume nyana engivalai by standing, and it feels great. And I think I project much better standing than sitting down.
Aldrin, let's talk a little. You've been on the airwaves for some time now. I think you are almost 13 years, if not 13 years on the airwaves. Do you ever get used to it?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know? No, you never. I don't think you ever. I'm sure even with your own experience now, every time that you come on air, there's always something different. And especially with talk radio, I find that it's a university, because there's always something new that you learn, and your respondents are listening to you live, so they'll respond right there and there and tell you about their lived experience.
And some
I know that you hate the phrase lived experience, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's okay, because, well, in fact, there's a big debate whether you can have experience that is not lived.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an interesting debate. And I do tend to lean that let's open the debate and say perhaps there is an experience that's not lived.
That's not
that
lived,
you borrow from other people.
From other people's
and it's
experiences.
Not yours,
from
but you then manifest it in your own life. But I mean, talking about, you know, never getting used to it, what do you prefer? Radio, TV?
Oh,
well, at least they own both platforms. No, I know they are listening, because they some said, yeah, you're taking our talent, I'll be listening there.
No, honestly speaking, actually, now I'm saying this, and there's a new show that's coming there on TV tomorrow. But
You?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know.
Yes, elections, elections 360 on SABC News.
Well, then, people of power, you've just heard it here on Power Talk, because this is not an announcement that even your people have made,
yeah,
I think.
No, we did, actually.
Okay.
Actually, this morning.
All right.
Short little interview.
So what's your preference?
My preference, honestly, is radio.
Is it?
I love radio. I remember before when TV news channels approached me, and I said no at the time. But my no at the time was more related to not feeling comfortable with the idea of being known. That you are Aldrin St-Pierre, you are on the news. Because there's a level of anonymity that comes with being a presenter that is on talk radio.
Yeah.
Compared to being a presenter who's on TV, right?
Mm.
So so I wanted that anonymity, and I really enjoyed it while being on radio. Then at some point, I was convinced by Uvuyo and Vuyo Mvoko to come and do TV. And I tried out TV, and I really loved it, really enjoyed it. But there are so many moving components in TV compared to radio.
Mm.
Radio, like I said earlier on, you have the studio, it is the technical producer, it's your producer, and it's you. Whereas in TV, there are camera people.
There's a lot happening. There's
somebody
crew.
There's somebody speaking in your ear, and so
there's the makeup person.
There's the makeup person, yeah, exactly, you know. You need to look good.
And boy, do you suit up. Who taught you that stuff?
I don't know. Maybe it's a long night, but it, you know.
Yeah, ne?
And it's innate, this thing, yeah.
Do you ever take a suit to studio on your radio show because you just miss getting into a suit?
No, but I'm thinking, I'm actually really thinking about it. I'm really thinking about, because there's something about when you look good
You feel good. The cliche.
Exactly. But that is true. When you look good, you really feel good and you project even better, I think. There's just a level of radiance that comes when somebody even walks into a room and you know this person knows that they feel good, you know, and they don't need your affirmation. They know that they feel good. And I think that also has an influence on how you perceive the world in that moment.
Absolutely. What has influenced your broadcasting philosophy over the years?
It is the untold story, the story that doesn't make it to the airwaves.
Yeah.
And for me now, especially in the past 2 years or so, is how do we get to a point where we even make news more inclusive and make talk radio more inclusive, meaning that we live in a country where a former British colony, right? And English, of course, dominates. But what we don't what we don't realize sometimes about language is that language tends to be a barrier to entry.
Yeah.
And some people find it very exclusionary. So they can't enter the conversation because the language that's being used is not accessible to them. So how do we make sure we make language more accessible? Then the other part is that how do we make sure that we bring in stories that don't necessarily find their way on the airwaves? I was saying to someone yesterday that you look at Soweto or any other township for that matter. The only moments that you'll find township stories making it onto the airwaves is when there is a protest.
Yeah.
And violent protest, not just any protest. It must be violent. There must be burning tires. The other one is if there is a gruesome crime. Those are the only two moments, most of the time, that you find that township stories make it onto the airwaves. Now, how do we change that? How do we also tell the other story, especially about the township? It's not true that people in the township are always angry, are always sad.
Always in violence.
You know, always in violence. It's not true.
The typical textbook you get about Africa in academia, where the only thing that gets depicted is really the poor, poverty-stricken, hungry, dirty, you name it. I mean, the patterns are there on the book covers that cover the continent.
You understand. And even when you read books, like somebody who writes a book about Soweto will start off with like, the dusty streets of Soweto. And
how many dusty ones remain now? So are you then saying that, Aldrin, there is the risk that ourselves as curators of conversations, that's what I call talk, radio, as curators of conversations, we might be complicit in reinforcing certain stereotypes and failing to liberate our communities.
So when we speak about transformation, right, we need to understand that transformation doesn't only mean getting a black person into that position of power. And you sitting on that seat, that's a position of power. So it doesn't just mean bringing on a black voice, but it also means that how do we change the narrative and the content that is consumed by our listeners and by our viewers as well. Because you walk into a newsroom and perhaps the newsroom has had white editors and they have a certain perception of the world, and that perception of the world also influences how they understand what is newsworthy and what is worth having a conversation on the radio on. And those things need to change. We need to now say that actually, I believe that a good story can make it onto the front page of a newspaper. It doesn't always have to be a gruesome story. The only time really that a good news story makes it on the front page of a newspaper, for instance, is when the Rugby World Cup, if you win the Rugby World Cup, isn't there, you understand? And more related to sports. But we're much bigger than that. We have other places where we express our happiness and our joy of being South African. And constantly the content that we do feed, I think, our consumers is content that makes them believe that the world, that South Africa is just a terrible place.
You know, Aldrin, you're saying something about, you know, sitting here, you hold massive power. It is a lot of power between myself and my team, Banyana and Snetemba. For 3 hours, we literally have a great deal of flexibility as to what we put into people's minds, into their consciousness, and it could go either way, good or bad. Do you think that this power we hold goes checked or unchecked?
It's unfettered. And it's always opened up to abuse, as we've seen, as well. And the political elite especially, they know that, and they use it to their advantage. And unfortunately, what happens as well is, again, that it leads to certain stories being excluded from the agenda. But Nakona, because it's a story that you're given by somebody who's senior, so therefore, it creates the impression that this is an important story. So the story must then go on air, you know, and not realizing that this is also part of, you know, the fictional battles with ANC, that now they're using us, and they're using us as a weapon to deal with the other faction.
Yes.
Because reputation does really matter.
No, of course.
It does really matter. And I think politicians know that. They know that reputation matters, but they pretend not to, because the only time that they use that gun is when they try to bring down somebody else in a faction. So, for instance, you'd put through a story, so Guti, this particular person is embroiled in corruption. You know, Guti, there is reputational damage that will come with that. But sometimes you find even that same politician is also embroiled in corruption.
They're just hoping their turn never comes.
Yeah.
That's a very difficult one. I mean, I've done a few roundtables with media colleagues to just talk about how do we prioritize stories? How do you safeguard from that? Because, I mean, the phenomenon of brown envelope journalism is not just a myth that people talk about as if they are these brown envelopes. It also embodies a far bigger conversation, the closeness of journalists to politicians,
proximity to power,
enjoying the scoops that you get because you are close to this individual. And then becomes difficult when you have to deal with that individual. Yeah. How do you, as an individual, anchor your pillars of ethics to make sure that you don't fall into those traps? I mean, I've spoken to a few colleagues and say, Chief, be careful.
Yeah.
Ngati, something is about to go wrong.
So we do it through the brainstorming when we get the story ideas and we work through the story ideas. But also quite important for me is, what do the other guys say about this? Because what also tends to happen is when you do have sources, right, be wary of, are my sources only sources that are in one faction? Because if your sources are sources that are in one faction, then that means that you'll only have their perspective and their narrative, right? But if you have sources on both factions, or even if there are three factions, then you can compare the three and then give it over to your audience, right? The other thing about it, though, is also moving away from feeding listeners a conclusion. Sure, we can help and guide listeners to get to a conclusion by giving them all of the information. But we shouldn't necessarily be the ones who then conclude on their behalf and say that now you need to come on board and this is what we are saying. This is the truth based on the information that we have at our disposal. We need to also learn that listeners are actually very intelligent. They are quite discerning. Sure, sometimes you may find somebody who comes on air and says something totally ridiculous and you tackle that issue. But are you able in that moment to also step back and say, okay, let me try and see it from your perspective. Let me at least guide me to what exactly it is that you're saying. And what also happens, especially with talk radio, is I remember having this conversation about Banyana. intelligence is also a gift. It's talent. It's something that you are born with. And some people tend to abuse their talent. And intelligence, too, as a talent, can be abused.
Of course.
We need to be wary of that. How do we make sure that we don't abuse their talent? Even in your own romantic relationship. Sometimes you have an argument with your partner, and then you use your intelligence. But now you need to prove this. You need to prove to me why you are angry.
I know the kind of partners that sit you down for 5 hours of a marathon conversation. You're like, no, but this is abuse now.
This is exactly.
You're still going to work the next day. Yeah. It's 2 a.m. and the conversation is unending. No, and let's carry on. People of Power, this is an open conversation. Of course, it is a Friday between 11 and 12. A very, very special guest this morning, Aldrin Sampier. Of course, he has sat, or at least he has stood where this seat is at in this studio, bringing you Power Talk between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. here on Power 98.7. And of course, now he's at Beyond the Headline. That's his home in the afternoon. 0861-987-000 is the dial if you want to be part of the conversation, and I know that you are about to flood us because you're like, hey, is this him? Is this the real Adrian? It's 25 past 11. But Aldrin, talking about, you know, not reaching conclusions, you had to cover Marikana at a time you were still probably, I'd say, fairly... not wet behind the ears, but you were fairly, at your young age, finding your feet in the terrain of journalism and politics in particular. How was that moment for you? We're almost 10 years there, right? How was that moment for you? How do you remove yourself from the pain and the agony of... the time, and I know people like Greg, the photographer, have reflected on this quite at length and the difficulties that come with being confronted with broadcasting such a massive moment in the history of our democracy.
I was at Jacaranda FM at the time, and Denzel Taylor was our editor. And I think Karen Labuskagne was the one who went first, and then I went after. But in hindsight, what I realize is what tends to happen is you come in as a journalist and then you cover the story because the story is just the story. And we are also told that you as the journalist must remain neutral, right? And I've come to a conclusion to say that, but that's unfair now to expect of journalists to be neutral. You can expect of them to be objective, which is something totally different. Because somebody has died, surely that would make me feel a certain way.
Yeah.
I'm only a human, you know? And even in the way that we cover the story, you know? But if you cover the story, let's say from the human interest level, the one that speaks about the bodies lying there, the one that speaks about the Marikana widows saying that we are still waiting for the money that was promised to us, that's the human interest level. And then people don't see anything wrong with you highlighting that, how the tears rolled down her eyes as she was telling us about what it means for the family having lost a breadwinner. Because even with that money that's paid, that's once off. But the breadwinner is gone forever, right? Then the other part is that once you enter the political terrain of it, then all of a sudden, but no. Now you must be neutral because now you're speaking about the politics.
Yeah.
But why should I be, you know? Why should I be neutral when we deal with the political stuff? Why should I be neutral when, for instance, we know that President Cyril Ramaphosa now has promised to go and visit the to visit the widows of Marikana? Why should I be neutral when President Ramaphosa said that I'll go to Marikana? You know, and he said that publicly, not once. You understand? Why shouldn't we ask for accountability? You know? And that's the very important part for me when it comes to this issue around how do we deal with stories that involve human beings?
Yeah.
And especially when there is a loss of life, and especially when you take into consideration the power dynamics. Because, Nakon, you can't divorce the fact that when, for instance, when President Cyril Ramaphosa sent that email, that he sent that email knowing very well that there is also this thing about proximity to power.
Yes.
The proximity to power then being a Susan Shabangu, being a Natim Tetwa, you know, Minister of Police and Minister of Mineral Resources. And his colleagues knew that.
When in the commission came out, in the Falam Commission, both from now the late George Bizos and Dalimbofu, the collusion of business, politics and the economy.
You think about why is it that certain politicians are asked to be on boards of private companies when that person has absolutely no knowledge whatsoever, let's say about the industry, or when you think about what contribution would this person bring on that board? Possibly the only contribution that that person is bringing on the board is proximity to power. Proximity to power also means that we've got somebody on the inside who knows what the plans are, for instance, of the governing party. What will be the next few steps that the governing party would be taking? When we speak about renewable energy, for instance, some people knew way before that this is going to come, where you have private companies or private individuals being able to generate their own electricity
and set themselves up for it. Well, people of
insider
power...
Insider trading.
Well, people of power, 0861-987-000. I promise you there's no insider trading that's going to happen here, even during the breaks. Aldrin, it's time for what?
Oh, it's time for the news headlines.
Speak up. Call the power line on 0861-987-000.
26 minutes to the hour, 12 o'clock. It is an open conversation with Aldrin St-Pierre. And he's sort of come back home to chat to me. And it's created a bit of a buzz around Powerhouse. Clearly a lovely, lovely soul. How do you remain a decent human being?
Ngothando.
Too much weight comes from.
Ngothando, guys. Loving is such a beautiful thing.
And I want some attention in this day.
Guys, and it's such a beautiful thing, guys.
You found love, ne?
Being in love is beautiful, man. I wish for everyone who is single and looking for love. I hope that you find it. And once you find it, guys, man, there's something about relationship that's very impressive outside of the companionship.
Yeah.
But there is this thing about where you have this pillar, right? Every day when I go home and I reflect on the show and I feel miserable and stuff, I go home to somebody who tells me that I love you.
Yeah.
And you know that you are good.
Mm.
Every day.
The sweet nothings.
That affirmation.
Kshanga parat.
Yeah.
What's the longest you've been single? Okay, let me go to that line. The lines are buzzing. Aldrin, we celebrity, no doubt. Lorato, good morning.
Ululu ubuyile. Welcome back. Even if it's just momentarily, Aldrin. Thank you so much, Lukona, for hosting the young man.
Only a pleasure.
I was quite intrigued, but of course I know that this you are not just saying it for the gallery, Aldrin, around the township narrative, right? But my comment really is that so Luke on sometime in May, I think it was around the 11th, he hosted Sisanda Nkwala on Thought
on Knowledge Bank, right?
Mm. And they were interrogating a paper called In Whose Interest Is It Anyway?
Yes.
Which was really looking at, was analyzing business shows in particular on content discourse and programming strategies, right? And my question really is, how much do you yourselves as teams, and this is also to Lukona, do you reflect on such important pieces of research? Because I think they give you insight as well into the echo chambers, right? Mm. We know that all of you always talk about, this phrase echo chambers and all of that. But it's almost as if you say it so that we don't feel you don't feel bad that you're not covering enough, right? But the question really is: so once there's this brilliant piece of research, how often one do you revisit it such that you can see that you are moving into a different and a better direction to ensure that you are now aware and awake to all of these, not because somebody has pointed out or a caller has called you out on, right? Or there's some conference where now, you know, you're sounding reflective, right? Mm. That's the first question. The second question is, and I know that sometimes we always beat ourselves down because there's a lot that goes wrong. But do we objectively look at others who actually are doing better? I think that the Sowetan is doing better in the township stories narrative and in how they treat the stories, okay, right? And perhaps we should then be saying, how do we get more Sowetans to do this in the approach of the narrative and telling the black stories better?
Okay, Lerato, let me dismiss you. Thank you very much. There, 0861-987-000. Khumotso, good morning.
Hey, Lerato, Lerato's deep. He's that intelligent person I was telling us about. Ooh. I almost lost all my points. Baby, I'm back. Again.
Hello.
No, thank you. No, I think I have a lot I could say to you, but my main one, my favorite show that you did, which really changed my perspective, was the show that you had around radio and producers. And you can call all the producers now, even yours there where you are. I now spend more time with the producers than the rest of you guys. These people are the show. So, oh, you guys, you do amazing things. Look right now. I mean, talking to Aldrin. A year ago, Aldrin was talking to Iman. And I love that because what you guys have gone through.
It's clearly a very telepathic tradition. Mm.
But the truth of it, though, which I think is what you must hold on to. I love what Aldrin was saying about you're allowed to have opinions. And because people need to understand that when you come to radio, you're also personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is not news. You're not SABC. Mm-hmm. You're not here to tell us what is happening. You are here to bring a piece of Lucon and a piece of Aldrin. Mm. And now I have, just like any other relationship, I have a choice to join in that or not.
Yes.
So instead of calling and saying, why are you talking about the back thing? Why are you like this? Let's be with Aldrin. Let's talk about the love.
Yes.
Let's sing a little bit. Like, you know, just get a piece of this person. And that's what I love.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I've been cheating on power because Aldrin. We jump over because you've had a piece of the person.
Yes.
You know? And you appreciate that.
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Khumotso. By the way, Aldrin, Khumotso tweeted that you must belt out a chorus before you leave here. Mabudi, good morning.
I'm always willing
Lukona,
to.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Hi, thanks, Lukona, man. Thanks for bringing him back home.
Only a pleasure.
Hey, Aldrin Simpi, how are you?
Ngiyaphila, how's it?
Ngiyaphila, my brother. This is the show on TV, Bati. Kumbule Kai.
Yes.
It's no place like home. You must come back home.
Yeah.
If Barang Buza look on about what we remember about Aldrin Simpia, I remember the interview Anale Pastamporo and then another one, Terence of Zimbabwe.
Mm.
So another one, look on, always Aldrin Simpia, he likes to talk about his mother.
Mm.
But the last but not least, something that I remember about you, Aldrin Simpia, when you become emotional. You, my brother, I miss you a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mabudi. You're about to make him emo. Now, I don't need Aldrin crying in studio with me this morning. I don't have enough tissues. Tebucho, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Ayatatazela makwala.
Ayatatazela.
Listen, man. I really have got nothing but love for Aldrin.
Mm.
At some point, I had called in during an open line, and I was talking about me struggling to do a rezoning in Mfuleni for my business premises, you know. And Banyana called me at some point, and they did a bit of research. And Aldrin dedicated a whole hour dissecting the whole part of bylaws and rezoning and whatsoever. And I should say to him, thank you so much, Aldrin. There was a town planner that actually called in that day and I volunteered to help me. We are busy with the process right now.
Fantastic.
We are kicking all doors. And thank you so much, Aldrin, my man. Keep on keeping on, my brother. Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Well, Aldrin, I'm just trying to mine through so that, people of power don't say I deprived them of you. As Tembi Sokeza, and good morning.
Good morning, Aldrin.
Tembi, so... Oh, guys, it's Stembiso.
What happens when Stembiso calls?
I love Stembiso. So there was the day that we were doing it was COVID-19.
Yeah.
We would remember that we were told that a person who has been infected with the virus, who's tested positive, must isolate at home. And Stembiso called in and she's like, I understand what the government is saying with the protocols. However, though, what does home mean for a South African? And let's unpack it. Then she starts speaking about the migrant labor. And I'm like, actually. And she's like, think about it. So somebody who lives in Alex, right? This person must now go and isolate.
Yeah.
I'm going to isolate him. So does this then mean that this person must then go home, ekhaya, as Lalini, ayo isolate upon,
and then come back?
But
then you also had the restrictions on travel, interprovincial travel.
And that's what she was pointing to.
Stembiso.
I'll never forget that.
Iyangeni lecture.
Oh dear, what a Friday for current affairs junkie like me.
Ah, beautiful.
On Friday, Sibanama would draw our symptoms and then we seek refuge in our weekend newspapers.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say, you know, that you guys are the best, the greatest, you're not journalists as such, but thought leaders that I've ever come across. And I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, and to me, it's a dream that you are together today.
Aww.
Because I saw Aldrin in the Julius Malema interview where we saw his wallet. Aldrin was there, represented the journalist community. He actually came in late and asked critical questions and really held IPower to account.
Mm.
Then a few months down the road, there is Ulukhona holding the president of the country accountable, you know, in his place. You know, I thought the president was, you know, sort of thinking that Lukhona, well, like, how other journalists do, go there and giggle, you know, and be all so sociable and, you know, call him fondly with his, you know, all his name. God, did Lukhona hold him accountable. You know, and I kept on thinking, you know, why were these guys not together, you know?
Wow. Well, we are this morning.
These two men accountable in one room.
Yeah. No, Stembiso, thank you so much for always keeping us company and being with us. Let's go to Mukopane. Silo, good morning.
Aww.
Silo, ufunani la. Silo, ufunani la. What's going to happen? Number is power.
Siyamlandela.
La somlandela.
Aldrin.
Hi. Mtako Baba. You know, I enjoy your show. I enjoy how you interact with us. And you are not being selective. You are balanced, in my view, when you tackle issues and the comments that we do make, whether we agree with you or not. And damn, man, when I saw you retweeting that you will be here on Power FM, I just like, damn it. Let me quickly finish my job and somewhere on the corner. Because, you know, again, I'm listening to this show on my phone because I'm working. And I was like, I'm not going to miss this one. And thanks for Power FM. But now I'm much happy because I can access you anytime that I want to because I have SABC this side in Limpopo. So I'm fine. And thank you so much, Power FM, to bring Aldrin on your show. And as long as I have him on SABC. So I appreciate you guys. Aldrin.
Absolutely.
Sibongi support.
Thank you, Silo. Aldrin, let's go back to Lorato's questions before I go to Entle Jablani and Lawrence on the line. Lorato asks some very important questions about, you know, our appreciation for research that, you know, reflects on the work that we do as media. And does it stay with us? And do you check yourself against it?
It does, because it has some sort of influence in how you even deliberate when you have conversations. Like, for instance, Stembiso. Sthembiso for me is an amazing critical thinker. Konje, did we once do Sthembiso's paper? I can't remember now if we did Sthembiso's paper. But the thing about people, academia as well, and just academics, is that there is this gift that says, that really pushes you to think beyond your comfort zone, right? That pushes you in a direction that you feel that this is totally uncomfortable. I perhaps cannot get there because, eish, guys, you know, when you want to batlag and peeling, and it's very difficult to get to that level. But once you've been able to break that and understand what the message is, I think it has an impact on you and also influences the way that you present and the way that you that you broadcast the show. There's another part to it, though, is, for instance, Lurato speaks about the Sowetan and how the Sowetan would cover the township story. We need to also drill deep into that and ask ourselves that what township story is being covered. Not necessarily that the township is being represented. There's representation of a township story on the newspaper. But what type of story is it? And what does a story tell us about the township? Those are the type of things that we need to interrogate. But on a different level also is, and I remember having this conversation with Eusebius, is as the media, how do we get to a point where we are also able to call out colleagues?
Yeah. Right?
And even media houses, and say that, hey, but lento leyo oyenzile lapha and aksi. And this is now not from a perspective that says, Guti, I want to pull you down. From a perspective that says that, sure, we are colleagues in the industry, and I recognize this, and this is foul play, and I'm going to call you out. But we tend to have this thing with, eish, no, man. I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy with that. Because there is also the power that you assume as the person who's sitting on that seat, which also then pulls you away from other people, where other people now fear you. Like, even from the producer's point of view.
And in some instances, we become friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
There are a lot of friendships in the media circle. That's the truth. How do you think those even compromise our sensibilities to hold each other accountable?
And I thought that that should actually be the right opportunity to actually have such a conversation, to say that, but CD, I'm not happy with this. Clement, I'm not happy with that. But I personally find it difficult. I find it difficult to do that. And I don't know why I find it difficult. Whereas, like, when I get on air, I'm able to, you know, tell my politician or tell an executive or whatever, but yeah, you're messing up. But I find it very difficult when it comes to my friends, friends who are in the industry. How do I even approach that? Because I don't want to come across as the one or was gangon. You understand? Because you already have that thing where you are a drive time show host. Therefore, people see you in a different way. And therefore, some people find Uguti, you are not approachable. And then you take that in and then also assume that perhaps it also means, Uguti, I can't approach this person and tell this person, Uguti, but you're messing up.
And then some think it's career limiting to hold media bosses accountable, isn't it?
Oh, is it not? Those are the ones that we deal with behind the scenes.
And boy, do we deal
those
with
those are the ones that we deal with. Because I think, Uguti, what people need to understand as well is that there is also the... there's the work relationship, right? There is the, I'm an employee and I have an employer, somebody who has employed me. So how do we respect that relationship as well? So people would say that, but no, you must go on air and you must also like
call out
the SABC and like, maybe from what sort of perspective are we going to do this? And also taking into consideration that you understand?
And also, I mean, everything has a hierarchy. There may be a point where you feel this is the point of no return. Therefore, let's do that. People of Power, it is 8 minutes to 12. And 0861-987-000 is your dial. Aldrin Sampier is my guest this morning. Let's pay some bills and conclude our conversation.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mguni. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Of course, this is the open conversation. Let's go straight to that dial. Mashandu, good morning.
You know, if both of you are way younger than me, but the vault of information the arsenal of knowledge. It's, I can't equate it to anything. Aldrin knows, he is one person who taught me about mental health. I was so naive about not feeling well, but Aldrin set me down at the end. There is such thing called mental health. He is right. Not all academias know. Not all academias must be pompous and think what the next person doesn't know. I respect him for that. Both of you guys, you are such a breath of fresh air. You just, you know, I get goosebumps to be talking to both of you, like, as if
live on the radio.
Together. Live on radio. It's, guys, I respect you. I respect you, yeah. Both of you. The worth of information, the worth of you guys bringing yourself down to a listener, concurring to them, assuring them sometimes. Well, at times, you become the psychiatrist. You counsel us,
yeah,
in a way that you don't know how you do it, but at the end of the day, there is this weight that I always take out from what you guys say. Lukona, big ups.
Thank you, Mashandu.
I love you guys so much. Like, with the capital L.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mashandu. Let's go to Mamelodi. Jabulani, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Lukona. You know, Lukona, Aldrin Saint-Pierre, when you talk about Aldrin, he knows who is talking here. You know, in just that, actually, I'm in a very bad space, but today I decided that I must call in because we have that young man there. Because one day I said to him, when I grow young, I want to be like him.
Nah, that's, you know, beautiful.
Yes. Now, you know, this young man, one of the characters that he has, you know, is that, you know, he's able to empathize and sympathize with people. You know, he's able to put himself in people's shoes. You know, when you are socially awkward and emotionally bankrupt, and then you listen to Aldrin Saint-Pierre, you know, he does stand up, you know. That is why, actually, as I'm speaking with you now, you know, I would like to speak with him off air, you know, because he has done so wonderful things to people.
Yeah.
And when he left, you know, I don't know what happened. When he left, probably I was the last person to speak to him, you know. Or maybe I was in that show. I spoke to him in that show.
Yeah.
But I felt that actually he was leaving. You know, when you're driving with somebody in the freeway, he just all of a sudden stops.
Yeah.
And say, get out of my car. You know, I feel like he left us in the middle of the freeway.
Jablani, got you loud and clear. Yeah. Lawrence, let's close with you. Good morning.
Good morning, Lukona and Adrian.
Hi, Lawrence.
Hi. The time Umama Ami Imani left the show, I actually had no confidence ukulalela. For a week, I didn't listen to Power Talk. And I decided to give it a chance. From that day until the day Ahamba Adrian, I never stopped listening. And even today, I still have the recording. He once played a TED Talk, Dr. Brené Brown,
yes,
the one who studied shame.
Shame.
I still listen to it. Yes, I still listen to it even today. And Ulukona must not worry. I wanted to say thank you. Aldrin and Lukona.
Yeah.
And from that day, I've never doubted ukulalela Power Talk. Everyone who comes to Power Talk, I know what he show.
Thank you so much.
That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much, Lawrence. Much appreciated. Aldrin, as we close off, I want to ask you two key questions. The first one is really about how you hold your own in a very tense or difficult conversation. And when you have somebody like Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi and in studio with you, how was that experience?
I could write a book. It was difficult,
yeah.
Because I'd reached that point, the one that I was speaking about earlier on, that I can't be neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember the night before, while preparing for that interview and watching all of those videos from Togoza, I think as well as the West End as well. And I said to my partner as well, babe, you know what? I need to approach that interview with honesty. Honesty, and with the pain that it deserves, right? And during the open line, I couldn't get myself there. I was an emotional wreck. But then eventually the team convinced me that we can do this because I've never went there in an interview. And when that interview happened, we took it there all the way up until after the interview outside the studio. We still took it there because I still feel that the prince should really apologize, but also beyond the apology, also speak honestly about the role of leadership at the time. He can't just claim and say that I was not the one who sent them there.
How was the energy between you and him afterwards?
Well, I interviewed him once again on SAFM, and well,
yeah, the interview
went well, and then we took it back there again.
It always goes back there.
It should.
As a parting shot, how do you bring something that I get told sometimes? We want to know more about you, bring more of yourself to the show. How do you do that?
You must be vulnerable. You must do therapy. You know, you must be okay with being lukona. You know, you must be at ease and at peace with where you are and this gift that you have.
Mm.
You know, because it's the gift that has brought you here. But now that gift needs to transcend you into a different space and get the audience to get you there. I find with the ability of being vulnerable, I got into a point where listeners come on and they also feel that it's a safe space. Even like the other day, some guy called in on the show and spoke about how he was raped by his aunts, and how his brother too was raped by the cousins. You understand? And it's very difficult for men to speak about, isn't it, Zinjan? Because men too become victims of rape, and that's a conversation that we hardly have. And that's the reason why, even when it comes to the numbers of rape cases that have been reported by men, are so low, because there is the shame part that's attached
to deal with that.
Yeah.
Well, you know that clock. Sing Thomas a chorus, Aldrin, before we leave Power Talk.
Find the note. Umangibeka emuva kuwewe yebo.
Wow.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.